Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Deliverance by Faith Radio Broad Radio Service, excuse me. And this is Apostle Stephen Amaker. And we are excited. I'm collecting my thoughts here. We're excited about what God is about to do, what God is about to say to our spirits tonight. God bless you, Lady A.
God bless you, Apostle, and our listening audience. Hoping you're having a great week up until this day. I'm having a good week. Thanking and praising God for all that he's done and he's continuing to do in my life. Just loving on him, continuing to love on him and him loving on me. Praise God. Looking forward to a great word tonight.
Yes, 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 yes. We're going to kind of change it up tonight. I want to give you the good things that you need to know. I kind of showed you in the past couple of weeks, we kind of showed you the bad things. But tonight we want to be on a little lighter note, tell you some of the good things that God has in store for us. But to them that walk upright and do what he say, obey his word, and it's going to be good. Get your Bibles, get your pens, get your notebooks, whatever. I just want to thank God for you that are listening, that tune in, either live or through the archives. I pray and I believe, because this is the word of God, it will be a blessing to you. You must obey the word of God. You must. In order to get what God got for you, you got to obey his word. You got teachers that will tell you, hey, you don't have to do what he says. Just give a few dollars. And come on. Do you really believe you can bribe God? You think you can pay him off? Just give him a few dollars and he'll just let you go sweeping through the city. You pay him, just give him a few dollars and he'll bless you. He'll bless you. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? What can a man give, Jesus said, in exchange for his soul? There's nothing. You can't bribe God. You cannot bribe him. There's nothing you can give him. All he asks for you to live holy, to walk upright, and to obey his word. That's all he asks. Everything else is on you. And watch this. 1% disobedience is 100% disobedience to God. 1% disobedience to the word, as far as God is concerned, you disobeyed everything. So when you disobey in one area, God says, you can disobey in every area. Now, watch this. Disobedience is a sin. Do you remember the trouble, the problems that you had growing up? But because you disobeyed your parents? Oh, let's go back there for a minute. Let's reminisce. Now, some of the whippings that we got, some of the chastisements that we got. Why? Because of disobedience. Didn't I tell you not to? And you did it anyway? Oh, wait till your mother get, wait till your father get home. Wait till we get hold of you. I'm going to get you. Because of disobedience. So I'm encouraging you, my brother, my sister, that's listening, and I really, somebody said, how you know somebody's listening? Well, because the Bible says my word should not go out void. There's somebody gonna hear this, whether or not it's tonight, or tomorrow night, next week, next month. You gonna hear this, and I pray that these words, these broadcasts, these services that we've rendered to you, in these past weeks take effect in your life and help you on your walk with the Lord. Okay, with that in mind, let's go to 1 Peter. We're going to start in 1 Peter, 3rd chapter tonight, Brady A.
And what verse?
Let's go down to the 8th verse.
Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil.
Go ahead.
Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repaying evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing.
Watch this. Do not repay evil with evil. Okay, you kill my cat, I'm going to kill your dog. You say something about me, I'm going to say twice about you. You say something to me, I'm going to say something back to you. Uh-oh. What does the Bible say? Don't do that. Don't live like that. Insult with insult. On the contrary, repay with blessing. Bless them that curse you. Bless them. Pray for them. Do something. Encourage. Instead of running your mouth, grab hold of yourself and check yourself. Check the Spirit of God that's living in you. That's not the way God wants us to talk. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit what? A blessing. Look at this. We want blessings. We want God to bless us. We want God to bless what we have. So what? We got to change some things here. 10th verse.
For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech.
Okay. I'm taking another swing at this from a different angle. But if in your reading you so happen to start at the first verse, this scripture really is for husbands and wives. But this here is a lot of what's going on in your private life. You don't have to be married. Love life and see good days. Let's keep their tongue. Watch this. You ain't got no business cussing folk out. You ain't got no business telling folk off. You, the Christian, the saint. You ain't got no business doing that. Running your mouth and deceitful speech and fussing and arguing and doing things like that. Yeah, you really shouldn't be doing that. That shouldn't be coming out your mouth. 11.
They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it.
Oh, look at that. All that will lie within you. Live peaceably with all men. Peaceably. Oh, do everything that you can to promote peace. That means sometimes you're going to have to, you're going to have to bite your tongue. You're going to have to, I'm just not going to say anything. Why? For peace sake. Pursue it. Do something. Stop looking for the other man to bring you peace. You bring them peace. Uh-oh. pursue it. Watch this, 12th verse.
For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Look at that. Look at that. For the eyes of the Lord, God is watching you. You praying. You standing up, speaking in tongue, praying and everything. The eyes of the Lord. God said, I see you. I see you. I see you. But then watch this. His face. He's looking at another part of him now. His face is against those. Against those. So all your praying and everything what you're doing, you ain't doing right. God is against those who do evil. He considers you doing evil. Watch this. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. Here it is right here. God's face, the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 13.
Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?
Who's going to harm you? Who's going to harm you? You're doing everything you can, God will protect you in every way. 14.
But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threat. Do not be frightened.
Look at that. Look at that. If you suffer, I was telling somebody earlier, there he is. He's here. I was telling Pastor James, God bless you, Pastor James.
Good evening. Good evening.
Hello, James.
I was telling Pastor.
How you doing? Okay.
All right.
I was telling Pastor James earlier. I said, if you're going through for righteousness' sake, thank God. Thank God. That means you're doing something right. The devil ain't gonna fight you if you ain't doing nothing.
True.
All right, let's go to 1 Peter. Pastor James, you have anything to say before we leave, before we move?
No, God bless you, man. Thank y'all for having me on, and I'm enjoying it, man. So continue on, sir. Real good lesson, real good lesson.
Let's go to 1 Peter, 4th chapter, Lady A.
3:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You are, watch what he's saying. You are in the same place that Christ was. You are being presented with the same challenges that he was. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. Why? Because you're doing what's right. You're blessed. You are removing sin out of your mortal body by receiving and accepting and going through the suffering that Jesus did.
Yes, sir.
Two. Second verse.
As
you
want to
pick it up, brother?
Come on. Go ahead.
As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather the will of God.
Look at that. Look at that. I don't live to go out to the bar and get drunk. I don't live to go out and see who I can have adultery with. I don't live the rest of my life to see what evil, what bad, how much drugs and what have you can I do. I don't live that kind of life. I don't want to live that way. I want to live according to the will of God. Woo, my God. That's what I want. That's what we're living for, to please God.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. As long as God is pleased, don't worry about other people. Don't worry about people. Because we spend too much time trying to please people, and we're going to see that a little later, I think, in this chapter. When you're taking time to please people, and they're going to talk about you anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That's right.
Third verse.
But you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry.
Look at that. See that? That's what we used to do. Okay. We used to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to be out there. But guess what? Since Jesus came into my life, I'm no longer out there. Now, this is the point here. You should not be still out there claiming to be in here with Jesus.
That's right.
Okay.
I hear you, Lady A. It takes time. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes growing into renewing your mind and learning about the Lord and doing things and putting this old man to death and living as a new man. You can't be old and new at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't be sinful and saved at the same time.
That's right.
But it takes, it's a process. There's a process there. There's a growth period. And you need to grow into righteousness. It don't come overnight. It's day by day, assist day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept.
Yeah.
Little by little. Okay, you got saved.
Uh-huh.
Unless in your conversion, God takes it all away from you, then you're gonna have to work on yourself.
To
separate yourself from the old man.
Yeah.
The same old lust gonna keep coming. But listen, even if the same old lust keep coming, you should stop the same old reaction.
That's it.
You shouldn't have
this. That's it.
Girl, let's go out to the club. You've been saved 3 months. You know I don't go to the club no more.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, what time? Tell me. What club we going to? That's not right. No. Because you're a new creature here. You're a new man. You're a new woman. You're a new person.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't practice the old things in the new life. Uh-oh. This is it. Watch that now. You can't practice the old things, the new things in the new life. The old things in the new life. You can't be practicing the old thing in the new life.
And I guess you are right. No, you are right. And I guess the key to this is to have the same mind of Christ. We should arm ourselves with the same mind. That means that we should realize that there's a battle that's going on. It's a battle, you see. Satan is battling for our minds, see? That's why he said have the same mind as Christ, because if Satan get in our minds, see, we're allowed to do anything, you see? So the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I've heard people say that again and again. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. So when we spend time with Christ in prayer, we spend time on our knees and praying for our loved ones and staying in His Word. That, like you said earlier, that is the key. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And when we get that, this is God's breath right here. When we get this into us, we shouldn't have problems when, you know, somebody want to go to the club or somebody want to take a drink or whatever they do, because why? We have the same mind that Christ, and Christ had this mind all the way to the cross. He had the same mind all the way to Calvary. So, I mean, hey, we got the armor. We got the armor. All we have to do is use it, you know.
Here we go. Fourth verse.
They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Look at that. Look at that. We're reading out of the NIV, the New International. And the King James saying, you know, like they talk about you. I was saying that earlier. They talk about you because you, man, he thinks he's too good to go to the. He thinks he's too good to smoke a joint with us now. He thinks he's too good to take a drink with us now. He thinks he's too good to chip in and buy a fifth of liquor with us now. He thinks he's too good. It's not that you think you're too good, but then on the other hand, you do think you're too good, because I'm not going to destroy my body. My body is the temple of the Lord, and I'm going to preserve it and let the Lord live in this body. From now, so you talk. Go ahead, boys. Go ahead, girls.
Yeah.
Talk. Talk about me. Hey.
Yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to let it bother me that you're talking about. If you are talking about me, that means I am doing something right.
There you go.
Be encouraged.
There you go. There you go.
You're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
If your friend is talking about you, go
ahead. No, I'm listening. You're right, brother. See, people tend to get jealous when they see you want to do. Now, as long as you're doing wrong, I mean, this is a scenario. As long as you're out there drinking and falling down, you got a lot of friends. They buddy with you. But when they see you doing well, I see this is what they say. You know, they're thinking it's strange because the Lord done changed you, but they want you back there. You see what I'm saying? And this ain't nothing but a tool of the enemy, tool of the enemy to pull you back into the thing. But the same mind of Christ, see, he's not going to let us go back, because once somebody that he has, nobody can snatch him out of his hand. So, you know, the young Christian, the old Christian, however the case may be, if your mind set, you know, you can be a three-day-old Christian, and if your mind is set, you see, you ain't got to worry. Because you got a set mind. See, Christ had this mind again all the way to the cross. So we as Christians, we're going to be picked at. We're going to be, you know, offended. People will be offended by us, say we better than they are. You know, we're going to hear a lot of this. But have the same mind Christ had. Christ prayed for them. He loved them. He loved them anyway, you know. So this is what we have to do. And maybe those same friends that talk about us, they can say, you know what? I want some of what you got there, Pastor Stephen. I want some of what you got, Ms. Adelie. You know, just hang on yours. You know, the bigger dog. Remember feeding the bigger dog. So if we keep up our side of the fence, then he going to want to come over there one day. You know, so, you know, you pull him up on your side. Give him some of that what you got. You know, then he'll be telling his friends, nah, you got everybody saved. Because why? You know, we didn't let them pull us back. You know, we got the same mind Christ had. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
And they mad at you because they know you're the one who was buying. Look at that. Rations done went down. Because you used to buy the bag of weed. You used to come up with the bottle of liquor. And now that you done changed and stopped, now you're the enemy.
Yeah.
Long as we was getting drunk, On James money, James all right with me. All of these getting drunk, getting high on Stephen's money, Stephen's all right with me. But now that Stephen and James have says no more.
Mm-hmm.
That means
yeah.
Now we can't so we're gonna talk about you.
Amen.
But don't let that bother you. Don't let that bother you. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in that. And like James said, Pastor James just told you. Let that be your witness to your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that.
That's right.
When you have been converted, what? Go strengthen your brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Over there and tell them, say, hey man, you can be right over here with me. We can still hang out. We can hang out, but we can hang out in a different way. We can hang out and without some of the vices and without some of the elements, but we can hang out with a clear mind and really get into this word and see what this word is saying. Let's get into this word and live according to this word. Let's change our lives, because what? Nobody in their right mind wants to go to hell.
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. Yeah.
In their right mind. Now, if you're not in your right mind, I ain't afraid of hell. You fool. You something crazy about you. Something wrong with you. Because there is nothing good in hell.
No. Man.
Don't let the devil deceive you. Hell is not a picnic. Hell is not a place of golf and tequila and drinking and partying, nonstop partying. Devil make you think, oh, you come on to hell, nonstop partying. We go party all the time. That's not the truth.
Yeah.
The Bible says hell is a place of torment.
Mm-hmm.
Tormented from one torment to the other, from bad to worse, and from worse to worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got a saying, you know, when it rains, it pours. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't an umbrella made for hell.
Mm-hmm. That's right, man.
It's gonna pour. And then you're gonna wind up in the lake of fire. In the lake. Not in the drops of rain, but in the lake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For all eternity.
Yeah.
For all eternity's
sake. Yeah. Yes, sir. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to try to refurbish what we were just talking about. Now, why the devil has your friends trying to reclaim you, so to speak, if you understand what I'm saying. You done got saved, right? So now the devil know that you're saved. So what he does, Matthew 12 and 43 explains it very well. When an unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came, talking about the Christian, new Christian. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So why Christ is saying have the same mind he has, because he knows the consequences of a Christian that turns back. You see, so these friends, they're not working they're working because Satan has entered them to pull you back from where you need to be. You see what I'm saying? So this is very important that we hold fast to our profession of Christ. We be careful how we treat these new Christians. See, we have to nourish them, because if they ever come back again, like you said, the spirit goes, but when he comes back and he finds the house clean, in other words, there's no word in him. There's no sustenance in that house. You see, he's been saved. He got saved, but then he ain't got nothing in there to fight with. So the spirits come back and bring seven more. Now he done. Now the drugs and stuff is double time. Now he double time spending money on drugs. He doing everything double time. It, you know, first he probably had a little control on it because he.
He pulled himself out of it. He got saved. Now, Satan don't like that. See, what he's going to do now, uses your friend to bring you right back in the same state. This time, you were worse off than you were before, so it's very important to, you know, try to keep people, when they find Christ, you know, we do our best, you know, to nurture them and teach them and try to keep them there, because if the devil get them again, then it's real hard to try to, you know, snatch them back out of it, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
Give us that scripture again. Where is it found? Matthew.
Matthew 12, verses 43-45.
Matthew 12 and 43. Write that down so you can put it in your notes and you can go back and read that again. That's a very important scripture. Thank you, Pastor James, for bringing that scripture into tonight's lesson. Okay, fifth verse.
But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
Okay, go down to the 12th verse.
Well, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though some strange thing happened to you.
Look at that. That's what Pastor James and I were trying to say to you. Don't be surprised, but you should not be surprised, but kind of, you know, be honored and blessed. Don't be surprised like this is something, you know, for a new Christian, yeah, it kind of might be. But now that you kind of matured a little bit, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals, the things that's coming on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you.
Wow.
The first time you got high, that was something strange happening to you. The first time you had got drunk, that was something strange happening to you. And you didn't feel that it was strange, but it never happened to you. So your body and your mind, like, what in the world is going on? But then guess what? Guess what? You kept on doing it. See? You kept on getting high. You kept on drinking. You kept on doing it. You kept on having unprotected sex. You keep on doing stuff that and so watch this. So then when the doctor calls you in and says, you got cirrhosis of the liver from drinking, don't think it's strange.
Mm-hmm.
When the doctor says, oh, you have HIV, you have a sexually transmitted, don't think it's strange. What? Oh, me? I can't believe I got this. Well, you did everything that you wasn't supposed to do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But on this side, over here on this side, these things are not coming to kill you, but it's coming to grow you. The fiery trials is coming to build you, to strengthen you, to give you fortitude in the things of God.
Preach, man.
Amen.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. Amen.
If I could do this, and it's, don't you feel proud of yourself? I mean, not pride, but I'm talking about godly proud. Oh God, they called me and asked me to go to the club, and I said no. I turned them down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not sitting there working. Well, you're not sitting home wondering what you missed, but you're sitting home reading the Bible, feeding your man, and feeding your spirit the things of God.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Then you get the phone call. Girl, you know what happened tonight? What? So-and-so was on the way home and had a bad accident. What? If you had went out, you'd have been in that accident, too.
Yes, sir. That's it. There you go.
Don't you feel good? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me, for keeping me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me peace of mind.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for a couple of more dollars that I can pay my bills because I stayed home and didn't spend all my money in the club.
There you go.
Didn't spend all my money on $15 a drink now? Come on. I don't even know how much it is. But this is $15 for a drink, y'all. Come on, for real.
That's it. I'm telling you. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. You teaching it now. You teaching it. That's $30 for two, and man, on and on and on. So you can have that money to, man, put gas in your car, buy a grocery, and then you ain't sick the next morning. You ain't got no hangover.
And wake up sober. Wake up sober.
Yeah.
What's so good? Yeah. Let me ask you. What is so good about what is so good about your face in the toilet bowl?
Wow.
Your face and the toilet bowl was not made for each other.
Yeah. Yes, that's the truth, man. That's true. That's true.
You got no business with your face in the toilet bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pray. Now you want to pray. Oh, God.
Help me out of this.
Oh, God, I won't do it.
Yeah. That's
I won't
true.
Do it no more. Oh, God, please take this away from me. You should have been praying before you went to the club. Before you
That's
opened
right.
that bottle. Before you went to the liquor store. You should have been praying.
Yeah,
God, take this
yeah.
away from me. Take the taste. Take the desire.
Yeah.
I'm a new creature now.
Yeah.
Come on, we got more to go. We got more to go. 13.
But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the goodness of Jesus, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, no
yes,
more
sir.
Drunk nights, no more no more hangover nights, no more, Lord, I'm sorry nights, no more I did wrong and God forgive me nights, no more, but I can go to bed in peace, thanking God
That's
for
right.
saving me, for changing me. Taking me out of that street life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes. As was such as we are, we were like, we talking like this because we've been there. We done that, you know.
Yeah,
been there and done that. So we know what we talking about, man. That's exactly right because it ain't no good life, I tell you that, man. Matter of fact, it's bad life. I didn't know cigarettes smelled so bad until I quit smoking, you see. So people actually don't actually know, man. You know, they actually don't know. But, man, I smelled cigarettes about 2-3 months after I quit. And, brother, I'm telling you what. And I used to go to church. And, you know, and I know the preacher and everybody else smelled them on me. I had to put a few mints in my mouth, smoke one and go to church. And, man, you know, I said, Lord, you know what? I got embarrassed because you didn't think nobody smelled it. But man, everybody smelled it, you know, but you see. So you know, people don't know. They actually don't have a clue of the things that they're doing, man. They're out of their mind a little bit. So, you know, we have to pray for those type of people, man, to open their eyes because Satan ain't going to. He ain't gonna make it no better. His job is to keep you right where you at. That's Satan's job. And you know what the child of God does, you know, he recognizes and he sees the problems of this world and he prays for God's people because, you know, I can imagine they might want to get out of it. You know, I don't know, you know, maybe they want to. Then some people just, you know, hard headed, they just, you know, still setting away. You know, like I say, I was set there. I know I was setting that way. And, you know, it took prayer, my aunt and my different people praying for me. And one day I came out of it. And I thank God Almighty that I came out of it. But we're just, you know, trying to give testimony to what we went through and try to, you know, stop somebody from, you know, ruining their life. Like the apostle said earlier, you got emphysema, and then, you know, you got all these different things from smoking, you know. You know, it's not God, it's you. You know, you did it. God didn't do it, you did it. So, you know, we just trying to help save lives if it's all possible, you know. I've been there, done that. I'm sorry, Papa. Go ahead, sir.
No,
you're talking good, brother. You're talking good. Let's go to 13.
But with your... I thought I read
that. Did we read that?
Almost 14, I believe. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you.
If somebody's talking about you because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, and the glory of God rests upon you. That's what they. That's what they. That's what they're fussing about. What they see on you. It's not. It's not. It's not that. It's not that. Watch this. It's not that they miss you so much. It's because they're jealous of the change that they see you have done, and they have stayed. It's just like. But when the silkworm goes into the cocoon, and they see the metamorphosis, and they see you come out as this beautiful butterfly, and they still a worm. That's not nice. That's not what. You praise God, because the Bible is telling you, don't. Everything is okay. Everything is okay. Everything is okay. Lady A, a lot of you might know, we used to live in Florida, and we had moved into this other house. And around the door seal, especially the top of the door seal, those caterpillars, that's what they were, caterpillars, will go in that door seal between the door and the frame of the door and make their cocoon there. And I said, Lord, why is these caterpillars find this place to come in? And he said, because just like I'm changing them, I'm changing you. I'm doing a work on them. I'm doing a metamorphosis on them. I'm doing a metamorphosis on you in the same place. I said, wow, God, you look at you, look at you. And I came out of that. When we left that house, I was changed, a total new person, flapping my beautiful wings now.
All right. Yes, sir.
Because we allowed God to do a change. 15.
If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler.
Look at that. Look at that. Go ahead.
However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name.
Read.
For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
He's saying if you, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
yeah,
go ahead.
But I'm. Yeah, he's saying here if we gonna be going through these kind of things and stuff, you know, as Christians, right? What in the world a person that don't have him gonna be?
So this is why again, say it's important for us to try to, you know, help those that don't know this thing yet, you know. In other words, what he's saying, I think he's saying it's hard for you. You know, you're going through, but you know how to rejoice because why? You have Christ. You have something to lean on. You got an advocate. But what about the poor man that don't have, you know, when judgment starts to begin with him? What about him? You so this is very important that we kind of, you know, teach the world, you know, let the one, the dying one, the lost one, you know, Jesus, I come to seek this and save that which is lost. This is why he came. And I think this is exactly what he want we as disciples to do. You know, like what y'all doing right here tonight. You know, you preaching to the world, trying to get the lost to see the light before it's too late. And, you know, I commend y'all on this. This is a very good thing. And this is what we have to do. We have to go in the hedges and the highways and the byways and try to seek those that are lost and try to pull them out of the hellfire because this ain't no joke. This is really not a joke. You know, if you read this, these words are real and they're true. And it's not a joke, man. Hell is for real and hell ain't going to be playing. I mean, it's not going to be playing, you know. It's turned up and it's ready to do. It's ready to do what was meant for. God created hell for the devil and his angels. But if we be lost, you know, if we don't have Christ when he comes, this is going to be our home also. And we don't definitely want that. We definitely don't want this. We don't want it. No, we don't want it.
Amen.
18th verse.
And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinners?
Look at this. Look at this. If you can do it, if what the King James says, if the righteous would scarcely make it in. Then where will the ungodly be?
Yeah.
If it's all we can do to make it in, where you think that where you think you gonna be if you ain't trying at all?
Mm-hmm.
Where you think you gonna be if you have not made a decision to live for God?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Read.
Wow.
So then, those who suffer according to God's will should submit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. If I got to suffer some things, I'd rather suffer for the name of God rather than to suffer for the devil.
Yeah. Amen. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You steal something, you know, you go to jail, you be punished. Yeah, that's one thing, you know. You know you're gonna pay for that. But like you say, when you suffer for Christ, you know, that's a whole different territory right there. You know, that's the kind you be proud of.
The reward.
You be proud of that.
The inheritance.
The
outcome. The outcome of your suffering is going to be better and greater and different.
Yes,
our prison system is jacked up, messed up. They got a lot of people. And you see those people say, man, I had just, they just released a guy, I think 2 weeks ago. He did 20 years. He did 20 years for a crime he didn't commit. And then they say the guy who did the crime, they described him and it didn't have anything to do with the guy who they convicted. for 20 years. He didn't even look. The witness said, no, this guy didn't speak no English. And this was an African-American guy speaking English. And you convicted and made this guy do something for 20 years of his life, waste 20 years of his life for a crime he didn't commit. Now, if you don't suffer, it should be worth it. This is what we're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
It should be worth it. It should be worth it. If this, God only knows, this, that 20 years might have spared his life. If he was still out in the street, he might have been dead today. Because, why? Trouble was looking for him. But God, in his infinite wisdom, put him away on the shelf so that he could yet have chance, time to know, get to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Second Peter, second chapter, Lady A.
What verse?
Let's start with the first verse.
But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you.
Look at that. Mm. Look at that. Back then, they had false prophets. Today, we got false prophets, false preachers, false teachers that will tell you a lie.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Pastor James and I was discussing this a little bit earlier. For a dollar, they'll tell you a lie. Mm-hmm. They won't tell you the truth. For a dollar.
That's right. Dollar.
For a few dollars. Mm-hmm. Well, God say you okay. Give you $1,000, and I got a special word for you. God says you okay. Everything, he going to bless you. He going to make you a millionaire.
Yes, sir.
How in the world is $1,000, what math are you doing? Even if it comes a thousandfold, the Bible does speak of a thousandfold. So you go put in $1,000 and get $1,000,000.
You can't do it.
It should only bring you, by right of the Bible, it should only bring you $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because that's 1,000 times 1,000.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
God is a good mathematician. He ain't gonna make you a millionaire over $1,000. That's not God. But when people want to do it their way, and trying to do it fast, and trying to bribe God or what have you, false teachers. So this thousand, God's going to make you a millionaire.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
False teachers. Mm-hmm. So, because they're lying to you, what? To get your money.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Apostle.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, when somebody telling you something you want to hear, they can get all in your pocket. You know what I'm saying? This is what those prophets that prophesying about your money. They'll find a scripture in the Bible that says about sowing a seed, and then they'll get out there in the TV land or whatever and get you out there and make you think that this is real, But again, we were talking about the mind of Christ. Now Jesus, if you think about it, he borrowed everything that he had. Think about it. He borrowed everything, remember? He tells him to go borrow the coat. He borrowed a ship. Everything he got, he borrowed. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm just using that as a scenario. If he was such a prophet that preached his prosperity and everything, don't you think he would have zapped some of that stuff on? You know, hey, this is my coat. This is my boat. You know, this is the upper room. They said he borrowed the upper room. They went to had the Last Supper, you know, and the Bible said they put him in a borrowed tomb. The tomb that he was in was borrowed. So, you know, what I'm saying is this. If somebody telling you you got to sow some money to be rich, you see, first you don't know scriptures to start with, because this is not so. It's really not so. So when you hear these things on it, you best turn it. Just turn your channel, because you know this. I mean, I hate to start calling names, but man, I ain't gonna call no names. Go ahead.
They're not preaching this accurate.
No, they're not preaching the
word accurate. Read, Lady A.
No.
We're gonna watch this. Read this here. Start over the first verse.
But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly produce destructive heresy, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves.
Look at that. Like Pastor James said, what does the word say?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you that word ain't right. That word ain't true. This is what I'm telling you is right. I'm telling you is true. And you'll be sitting there, you know, but look, if they don't have a word out of the Bible, a scripture, it's not right.
Right.
Everything should be backed up by the scripture. Show me that in the scripture. You show me where if I sow a seed of $1,000, God's going to make me a millionaire. Show me the scripture.
Yeah.
This is what you need to be saying.
Exactly.
Because if God said it, he got to do it.
But
God didn't say that.
No.
He said, if you hearken diligently unto my word and do everything I tell you to do, he promised to bless you. And he didn't promise to make you a millionaire. But he promised to bless you in ways that millions of dollars cannot suffice.
That's right.
He promised to bless your house, your body, your children, your property. He promised to bless everything that concerneth you.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
and then promised you millions of dollars. Why? Because everybody can't handle millions of dollars.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, man. That's the truth. He said, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom
Come
of heaven
on.
And its righteousness. Then all
Come
these
on.
Things will be added. That's what he said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All these things, all these other stuff, everything else.
Yeah. I think y'all see
this?
That. I don't know.
What's this?
Great.
Just because you said that. If you're not a tither, you're disqualified. If you're not a tither, you're disqualified from the blessing. Because God says, I will curse you with a curse. That's the word. Malachi 3.
Yeah. That's it.
In the book. It's in the book.
Yes. That's right.
Everything got to be, you got to, preacher, show me in the book where it say that.
That's it. That's scripture, bro.
Says,
we got to have.
And why do you hear about so-and-so, and then you don't hear no more. Because why? He brought destruction upon himself.
Wow.
God ain't going to let you, God ain't going to let them misdo their people for so long.
That's it. That's it.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
Amen.
Misleading God's people for so long.
That's all right. That's right. Every now and then you see one falling by the wayside, right? Every now and then.
Then it will follow that deprived conduct and will bring the way of truth to disrepute.
The truth. They will bring that to for us to dispute who is right, who is wrong. Because they're telling you one thing and the book's saying another thing. Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the book. I'm not going to believe preacher Dr. Jack Lane.
Yeah.
Prophet, willy-nilly, whatever. Who's saying this and who's prophesying that. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe what's in this book.
In the word of God.
So when you come to me, I'm not going to dispute what the words say. I'll dispute what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll argue with what you say rather than argue with the words say. Because guess what? You're wrong. The book don't say that.
Yeah.
That's all right, bro. That's all right. That's it. That's exactly right.
Amen.
Yes, man.
Look at this. Read the third verse.
In their greed, these teachers will exploit.
What?
In their greed.
Wait a minute. What in their what?
Greed.
Go ahead.
These teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories.
I was in Dallas, Texas. I was in Dallas, Texas, and the lady came and gave me $1,000. And God, she came back next week testifying, God gave her $10
million. Yeah, you nail it, boy. You nail it, brother. You nail it.
But brother, if that woman got $10 million from a $1,000 miracle, you should be somewhere on the Riviera in the Bahamas somewhere hanging out.
That's right. I tell you what it was.
She should at least gave you $1 million.
Yeah. She was a paid actress. That's what she was, a paid actress. She gave about $500 to come and say that. That's right. That's what's happening now. I'm telling you, brother. That's what's happening.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
Brother, if you ever told the truth, you're telling it now. They are doing that. I know a preacher, like you say, paid people. And watch this. Okay, I'm going to show you another one. Tonight, I'm going to give away $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
One person in the audience, I'm going to bless with $10,000.
Come on.
Everybody come. And everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat. Is it going to be me? It's going to be me. I know it's going to be me. Lord, please let it be me. I need that $10,000. What you don't know is.
Yep.
That person gave somebody $500.
Yeah. Yeah.
To stand up and receive the $10,000. You be the one that I pick.
There you go. There you go.
It's like a lottery.
Mhm. That's it. Pyramid. Pyramid. Yeah. We call it Yeah, that's what it is. That's
it's
all that is, brother.
It's a scheme. It's a false.
Yeah, when they
false
call it. They
what,
call it.
How you call it? Fear. Fear. Appearing real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
False evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And woo, look at him. He just got $10,000. He got $10,000. He ain't got no $10,000. He got $500. For being picked out and being the scapegoat. Because
mm-hmm.
if they were going to give somebody $10,000, why are you standing up here doing this? Here is $10,000. $10,000. And we was in another service. Lady A and I, some years ago, we was in a service, and this young man came down, and in his service, he was just giving away, giving away $100, $200 to different people in the audience that he did not know.
That's it.
So the pastor came back that night and go give his wife,
mm-hmm.
who is his wife, his house. I give you the money in front of the people, but you give it back to me in behind closed doors.
Wow, man.
And his wife, and she said, he's making it rain all over me. Yeah, he gave you. He's slinging all this money, but you got to get that money back. but the people sitting there talking about, woo, woo. I said, man, why don't you give this money to some of these people in the audience that can use it for real?
Yeah.
That can't give it back to you.
That's it. That's it.
That needs the money.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
But you want to make people think you're doing this, and you're a liar.
That's it. False. Yes, false.
Yeah.
That's what you is. That's what you are. That's what you are. That's right, brother. That's what you are. Yes, sir. But you're going to get it back, though. According to his word, you're going to get it back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Read.
You want me to finish three?
We finish three and go on to four.
All right. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and the destruction has not been sleeping. But if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others.
Three.
If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the deprived conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard.
Mm-hmm.
If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You're going to be punished.
Get away.
You're going to be punished. False teacher, false preacher, false prophet. You're going to be punished. Because God, listen, look what it says. If God didn't let all these other people get away, he ain't going to let you get away.
That's right. There you go. There
he ain't
going to
let you get away.
No.
Because as far as God is concerned, you're just as bad. You're just as bad as Sodom, Gomorrah. But I'm preaching. But you're just as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, as the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. You're just as bad as those that lived in Noah's time, that did all kinds of sin, just like today. is just as bad. In the eyes of God, sin is sin.
That's right.
Ain't no big sin. Right. There ain't no little sin. Ain't no pardonable sin.
That's right, man.
If you practice it, but I'm talking about if you practice it, you're going out deceiving people, lying to people.
Wow. Yes, sir. Better try to get it straight, man. Get it straight. Yes, sir. Yeah, because you see when he was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah here, he said in one scripture, I can't remember which one it was, he said it'd be more tolerable for them as it for this nation, because see, we know, man, Jesus came and died. He came and died that we might be free, right? So see, Solomon and Gomorrah, and back in those days, they didn't actually had the full knowledge that we have today. You see what I'm saying? We had a man lost his life for us. He lost his actual life. He gave it, laid his life down for us. And now we know. You see, we know this. But he said now if the things had been done back in Solomon, they would have repented. You see what I'm saying? If they had seen the thing that Jesus done, and the things that he walked this earth and did and showed the people, he said they would have repented. But he said, I done this, and look at y'all. You see, some of y'all, we still not repenting because I can't answer the question. I really don't know. But it's not rocket science. The man had lost, he gave his life, and he said to anyone that believes on him that he was going to save you, he shall save you. That's what he said, he shall save you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sin, and believe, you shall be saved. That's what he said. And what happens? People still think this is a joke. They say, well, maybe tomorrow. Mm-hmm. See, tomorrow has gotten old. It's not tomorrow's anymore. You know, I'm mighty afraid all the tomorrow's is about used up. So, you know, repent, people, you know. Just give the Lord your life and see what he can do with it. Because I guarantee you he'll change you. Like we were talking about the metamorphosis, about the book. He will do just that. All you have to do is give him your life, you see. But, it's easy, but it's still, you know, some people just think they got time. I think that's the real reason. They think that they have time. But it's not as long as it has been. I can promise that not long as it has been.
Wow.
Yeah.
Read 17. Start at 17 and read.
17. These people are strong. These people are strong without water and driven by storm.
Springs. These people are springs.
Spring without water and mist driven by a storm.
They're hallucination. You know, like in the desert, it looked like it's water there.
I'm a rock.
If it's good, watch this. If it's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. You know, it's strange.
Wow.
They're promising you. Until you come to drink. It's promising you water. You get all the water you want until you walk over here with your pitcher and say, okay, give me some of that water. Oh, I don't have none.
Wow.
Watch this. They're promising you that they are the millionaire prophet. I prophesy $1 million to more people. Well, show me one person. Oh, I can't do it. They really can't do it. They can't do it. Because they're false prophets.
Wow.
Read. 18.
For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error.
Look at that. You just got saved. You just coming in. All right. Okay. I got a question for you, the audience. Lady A and Pastor James, don't answer this. But I want you to think. What would you rather, $10 million mansion or Jesus? I'll give you a $10 million mansion. All right, so you chose a $10 million mansion. You chose wrong.
Yes, yep. Amen.
Wrong answer. Wrong answer, yep.
Yeah.
What would you rather, $50 million cash or Jesus? Well, give me the $50 million.
Mm.
You chose wrong.
You're wrong, bro.
Yes.
Well, most people in the world, if you ask them to choose, they will take the money. Give me the $10 million mansion. Give me the $50 million cash.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Then,
not thinking.
See, because you are living in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you cross over from the flesh into eternal, $50 million cash won't do you no good because it don't spend over there.
No, sir.
What can a man give in exchange for his soul? So you got nothing now, and you still got no Jesus.
That's it. That's it.
You don't have Jesus, and you don't have the money.
Yeah.
You have been hoodwinked.
That's it.
Plymouth Rock fell on you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Believe,
yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir. You got $50 million and lost. $50 million
and
lost.
Lost.
That's
lost. Sheer loss.
Wow.
Can you imagine? And see, what you don't know is how many of these mega stars. You need to find out where Michael Jackson is right now. You need to find out where Whitney Houston is right now. You need to find out where some of these billionaires are right now that died and went on without Jesus.
Mm.
What do they have now? All they got is a memory. When I lived on Earth, I had the world's biggest mansion. But where are you at right now? In a cell, in hell, dirty, stinky, dry, tormenting, nasty hell.
Oh yes, we have to really, really consider that, brother. Like you say, we have to really consider, because, when you ain't got Jesus, all the money in the world. It's a sad thing. And for those that think that, well, okay, I can buy happiness. I have $50 million. I have $100 million. I can buy salvation. Remember the rich young ruler? He asked Jesus, "Hey man, what should I do to obtain eternal glory?" He said, he tell him that, have you did all the? Oh, he said, "I done them. I got those." In other words, he was trying to work his way through. He said, "Now, what I need to do?" He said, "Well, you lacking one thing, sir. Sell all you got and follow me." And the Bible says he dropped his head and walked away sad. See, so that's a very good point to see how what money is. Money is nothing, you see, but something to distract you. It'll distract you from where you really need to go. You see, Jesus was just probably didn't want him to sell everything. He wanted to see where his heart was. He had done.
Well,
he said he did everything. He done. I got all the commandments down. I did all this. I did all that. Okay, well, fine. Let's see then. Sell everything. Jesus knew where his trap was. Jesus knew where his treasure was. He said, sell everything and give. No, I can't do that. I cannot do it. And the very next page, he talked to Zacchaeus. He called Zacchaeus. He said, "Man, I need to come to your house to eat with you today, Mr. Zacchaeus."
Mr. Zacchaeus went to him and his whole house was saved according to the scriptures. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give back what I took. Everything that I took, he was a rich man too. So whatever he said he going to take, he going to give it back fourfold. Is that right? I think fourfold he gave back. See, in other words, that's true repentance. All the other young man had was religion. He had religion. He had everything he needed. He had it. But he just didn't have, his heart was not right, you see. So you can be very religious and not have what is required from Christ. And he requires our heart. So all the money in China and Russia and everywhere else, it's not enough to get your heart. Your heart got to be right. Yeah, your heart got to be right. It's got to be right.
That's to be right. Yeah.
19th verse.
19th verse. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for the people are slaves to whatever has mastered them.
Mm. Look at that. Look at that. They promise you. Promise you. God's going to make you a millionaire while they broke. Why do you think they're asking you for the money? Because they broke. They need their light bill paid.
Wow.
But yet God's going to make you a millionaire. But they're not a millionaire. They're not millionaires. This is the thing. And see, this is what I say. The only people who profit from this, and look at here. You got to keep on stealing in order to stay alive. You got to keep on promising people in order to stay alive. You got to keep on doing what you're doing in order to live. Because it's short-lived. That money comes so fast and it goes so fast, you don't know where it's at.
That's it.
Believe God does that because he said he'll put a hole in their pocket. As soon as they get it, it's gone.
That's right.
You got to keep doing, like you said, they got to keep doing what they're doing, saying what they're saying, knowing God ain't said none of that stuff in order to keep it coming. Got to keep doing it. And that's the false teacher and the false prophet. But God is calling in this day and time the true teacher the true prophet to come forth. You got to teach these young, you got to teach. You got to teach the people. When they come in out of sin and they don't know, they won't know not to do these things unless they be taught. It takes time to learn the word of God. It takes time to say, well, I didn't know that was in the word of God. If we have not took time and read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, we'll still come back and say, I didn't know that was in there. Somebody else, God allowed light to be shed on the scripture. Like Apostle did the scripture, he was talking about our inheritance, and I have read that book, and I had it on the line, but it wasn't until he shined the light, the Holy Spirit shined the light of that scripture, that it came alight, and I've been saved a long time. So the word of God, is pregnant, and you may get that meaning out of that scripture this time. It can be a few months later, God can allow you to see that scripture from a whole other angle, and he can turn that scripture, and it still mean what he said. It'll still mean what he said. So it takes time, and so the true teacher's got to come forth and teach the people, and especially teach the new converts, because they won't know about these false prophets. They don't know about these false teachers. I'm reading a book now, and it talks about the ministers. The minister's personal handbook, and it's teaching everything in that a minister is supposed to know. And I mean, I didn't realize that false teachers. It is like I knew it, but I didn't. The light being shined on it now really makes me gonna take note of what people are saying, and is it really lining up with the word of God, or is they just giving me a little truth? And then, you know, telling me a lot of the rest of it, but giving you a little truth with a lie in order to get over, you know, like the apostle said, you know, because they got to give you a little truth, you know, plant this seed, and you know, But the rest of that ain't right. You know, part of that, what he's telling you is true, but a part of it is wrong too. But if you don't know the word and you don't have the real teacher and a real pastor in there that's really feeding the people the word and especially making them aware of what's going on in the world around them and what's going on, you know, how the devil is using people to do it, and people won't know. People really, so they'll be like, I didn't know that. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know that. You'll be like, oh, my God. But God, the Spirit of God, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? He is on the earth in order to enlighten us and to lead us into all truth. But like you say, too, you got to get in the Word of God. And that's why he said iron sharpens iron, because James bring in a little, Apostle bring in a little, I bring in a little, somebody else, and we all sharpen each other. And we have, and most of the time when we're talking, we're going to bring the Word of God into play. And we say, okay, we know that's the Word of God because we're reading it right here. She's reading that.
Amen.
She's reading that. I can open my Bible and read this and see that is what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
20th verse.
20th verse, but if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning.
Okay.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
That's it, right there.
Look at that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's in the Word. And the scripture that Lady A made reference to is Ephesians 5th chapter and the 5th verse. It reads, "For this ye know, that no homemonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God." In the kingdom of Christ and of God. No inheritance.
No inheritance. Not like, what?
If you practicing any sin, you have no inheritance. Don't you think you're going to heaven. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time thinking you're going to heaven, practicing and living in sin.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself.
No. You better not, because that's a chance right there. That's like playing Russian roulette, man. Because anytime, you know, bam, you know, you can leave here and not leave here right. So, you know, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Yes, he is. Jesus is the answer. Yes. I guarantee he'll save you. Yeah, he'll save you now. But, you know, we have to make that very, very intelligent decision, you know, and confess our sin. And after we confess our sin, he said that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. So this is what the sinner has to do. The saved person that is in sin, this is what he has to do. And the Bible says every knee has to bow and every tongue shall confess. So this is what we have to do. You know, we have to give it to Jesus over and over again. This is if I could give anybody a word tonight, it'll be let Jesus handle it, man. Because we are too small in our little minds. We can't comprehend the thing that Jesus can. So if we want to be saved, I guarantee that he will save you. He will save you, and he will keep you. You know, we were just reading the scriptures. He keep you because it said what? Keep the mind of Christ. That's all we have to do, and follow up what his mind is. And when we do that, we'll know how to handle ourselves in situations with bad habits come along, when bad things, when we want to do bad. Because the devil is on his job as well. He's the only one that comes to work and don't want no pay. He said, I don't want pay. I'm going to be on my job. So this is what the devil does. But we have an advocate that would, every time he comes around, all we have to do is give it to him. Look, devil,
yeah.
I'm giving this to my man right here. You take that up with Jesus, you know.
You ain't saved. Take that up with Jesus, you know. Well, you ain't going to live right now. Take that up with Jesus, you see. We have to give it to him. When we try to handle the situation, see, we'll fail. Especially young convert. Talking to the young convert now. Talking to the one that, you know, thinking about getting saved. Talking about the one that just got saved. Give it to Jesus. Whatever you feel, because, you know, the devil, he wants you. He wants you. He wants you back. So just give it to Jesus. Whatever you confront with, give it to Jesus. You ain't. You still breathing. You still breathing. Give it to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Quickly, lady, go to 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. We're almost out of time. Thank God. Thank God that the lesson is written as good as it is. We have a few minutes. We can read two verses out of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter.
What verse?
Give me a second. Seventh verse.
By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Fire. Fire is being kept for the day of the reserve being kept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
What verse is that? Seventh verse. But do not forget.
Okay.
But do not forget this one thing, dear friend. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day.
Read.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Yes, Lord.
Look at that. Read.
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare.
Look at that. Now, there's your mansion. There's your mansion. Just burn it up. You need to look at the. You need to look. Go back to the news 2 weeks ago. How many houses in California burned up? And those houses, what all the houses was not. Some of them houses were multi-million-dollar houses, homes.
Yeah.
And they burnt up.
Yeah.
Tornadoes come through. And destroyed how many people's houses?
Oh, God. The flood.
So.
And the mud.
So, floods and mudslides and other things, what we call natural catastrophes.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming back. That's coming back. God gonna let it slide. When he remove his spirit and remove his spirit, his people from this earth, he gonna let it, the devil gonna let it slide. I mean, he gon' whatever he wanna do, you can do it. Why? Because God is holding the reins now. God is holding him back. If God is holding him back now, and then he removes his spirit, there's nothing to hold him back. So that what you thought was you thought was valuable, you find out it ain't got no value at all.
That's right. See, brother. Yep. Like you say, that seventh verse, man, that's some heavy stuff there, brother. Heavy. By the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. What word? Let there be light. That same word right there.
There you go.
Oh, Lord. Are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. So the same word that said, let there be light. That's all he waiting on. That's all one little word.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it's going to be. This is it, or I had enough, or
you know, whatever it is. But that's the same word. It's going to be just that. That's how it's going to be like a thief in the night. That's what he's talking about, like a thief. You know, everybody going around doing their thing, not looking, not caring, you know, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, having a good time, what I'm trying to say. And all of a sudden, bam, that's that word. This is it. And that's it. That's about all the time. You know, it don't take, what, a millisecond to let that out? This is it. Man.
Read the 11th verse, lady. We got to go. Come on. Jeez.
Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?
Mm-hmm. If this is what's getting ready to happen, what do you think? What kind of people do you ought to be?
Mm-hmm.
A sinner? Mm-hmm. You're gonna remain in your sin?
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me? You're going to know the things of God, but yet remain in your sins.
Wow.
That's it. Read.
Well, as looking forward to the day of God and speed it coming.
No, you didn't finish reading. Go back to the 11th verse. I'll read it. You ought to live holy and godly lives. Go ahead.
As you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will dwell.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to close the book there.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. 14th verse.
So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him.
Knowing what's about to happen, you need to do everything you can. And as we're saying, you might be in a place that's not teaching you this, but then you can pray, Lord, show me in your word want me to live. Lord, show me. Show me in your word. Show me in your word. Now, don't show me in some preacher's mouth. Show me in your word. So that, like Lady A said, you see it, you hear it, you read it in the word, so then when you hear it, you know it's the truth. It's right. Because you got preachers saying one thing and the word saying another thing.
Something else. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
But you need
yes.
to pray. You need to pray. Mm-hmm. Lord,
yes.
lead me and guide me to a place that's telling the truth. Lord, lead me and guide me in the word that I can see it for myself. So I won't be found in sin when you come back. So I won't burn up in hell when you come back. All right. God bless you. This is Apostle Stephen Amaker. This is the radio service of Deliverance by Faith. And I pray, I believe, I know that God will minister to you through these services. God bless you. Pastor, Lady A, have final words. Pastor James, have final words, and pray us out.
All I can say is ditto. The word has been good tonight. Praise God. And I just want to meditate on what Apostle just said. So have a great week. Have a great week. Enjoy the word thoroughly on tonight. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. We just thank the Lord for, you know, the moving of his hand. And we thank the Lord for great people that love the Lord and that's praying and continuing in his work. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless each and every one. Lord, we thank you tonight for what has been done. We thank you for your word, most of all. We thank you for Jesus Christ tonight, Lord God, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for what he done. He took on sin for the whole world, took it upon his shoulder, died for us. We are free. We are free. But we have to believe this thing. We have to really believe we're free. And we thank the Lord for being free tonight. Thank you so much, Lord God. We just give your name praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we say amen and thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you.